McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. We will talk to Conrad Thompson in a few moments about Ric Flair's final match. 73 years old, going to be getting in the ring. Might have a few aches and pains when that thing's over. Arthritis for you, aches and pains for you, your CBD store can help out. They have products to help you or your pet with arthritis, with anxiety, whether it's your backs, knees, hips, ankles, feet, whatever that is. They have products that can help you get through your day pain-free. Your CBD store, first company to have USDA certified organic oil supplements. They've got that stamp seal. And the largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world. They've been focusing their attention on being the best plant sciences company out there. Hundreds of different extracts and plants, and they work hard to find the ones that work best for you. The Trim by SunMed is also in stock. Revolutionary new line of products and weight loss sciences that features THCV, compounded hemp, known to naturally suppress your appetite. Scientifically backed by clinical trials, also on the shelves now at your CBD store. Four locations, Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, Trustville just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. Matt's going to be coming to you Sunday night, and one that I think a lot of people, there's really not any introduction that needs to happen as far as talking about what Ric Flair has been, what he's meant to the wrestling business, the entertainment business. He was out at Titans practice yesterday trying to help promote this last match in Nashville, Tennessee. Conrad's kind of been behind it, been pushing it a little bit. $34.99, Fight TV is where you can see it, pay-per-view. It'll be available Sunday night. Card is pretty impressive. It looks fun. Obviously going to have a roast there leading up. I saw Nestler at SEC Media Days last week. Said he's going to be emceeing the roast. He and Rick, big buddies. So he'll be there. Cassio Kidd going to be there, be a part of that as well. So an entire event happening around this final match for Ric Flair. And we'll just ask Conrad about why he felt like this needed to happen, why they wanted it to happen, how they put it together, and just how cool it's going to be. The marketing, if you've seen any of it, has been pretty cool. Kind of a throwback as far as, a little bit of a vintage feel as to what they're going to make this match feel like, what they're going to make it look like. And, listen, you only need to say those two words, Ric Flair, and people are going to be involved. People are going to tune in. People are going to want to see what it's all about. And Sunday night, you're going to get it one more time. And then you've got some of the promos that have led in, whether it has been ESPN documenting his training leading up or seeing some of the things that have happened between he and Jeff Jarrett leading up as well, been pretty interesting to watch. Conrad, always good to have you joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. First time that you've sort of promoted a wrestling event. Take us back as to when this idea was first pitched to you or when it first came about and what your immediate reaction was as to maybe actually making this happen.
Well, this is my fifth convention. We call it StarCast, StarCast.com. And I saw that WWE was going to be running where the Titans play here at Nissan Stadium in Nashville. And I thought, well, there's an opportunity. That's only 2 hours from my house. I tried to promote the roast to Ric Flair a few years ago. Ric was hospitalized, wasn't able to make it. So I always wanted to follow up and actually deliver that. And now's my chance. So I jumped at the opportunity to do it. We did like a location scouting in October of last year, and we knew we were going to bring the convention. But then I realized, wait a minute, SummerSlam's on Saturday. There's nothing for these 70,000 wrestling fans who are going to be in town to do on Sunday. And, of course, I've known Rick for 9 years or so, and every now and again when we're hanging out, he would sort of freestyle, hey, what if? So I had the good fortune of becoming pretty good friends with David Crockett, who was one of the promoters who made Rick champion for the very first time in 81 and 83, and then put him on TBS. And before there was a WCW, there was a Jim Crockett Promotions, and that's really where Rick cut his teeth and became famous and became who we know today. So I reached out to Mr. Crockett, and I said, hey, man, what if? And he jumped at the chance, and before I could even finish the sentence with the exact same offer to Rick, he was all over it. So that would have been March of this year, and we knew by the 1st of April that not only did he like the idea, he had been back in the ring, he had been training, he was getting ready, and he had sort of cleared that hurdle in his mind. So we announced it in early May, and to my surprise, man, people really gravitated to it. And we're very thankful to have the attention that we have for Ric Flair's last match this Sunday night here in Nashville.
Fight TV is where you're going to be able to get it. And as you said, kind of how everything's lining up and everything's falling into place, it has the feeling, Conrad, that this event is absolutely going to be a...
absolute blowout winner.
I don't see how it couldn't be, which is with how you've kind of lined this entire thing up. It just feels like everything is aligned for this to just be a massive event for you. So
it's a lot of pressure on my side, though, if I'm honest. You know, as you said at the top, it's the first time I've promoted something like this, and it's Ric Flair's last match. Well, boy, that's a lot of pressure for me, not just professionally but personally. You don't want to drop the ball in the greatest wrestler of all time and your father-in-law. So it's a big deal to have the opportunity, but I'm up for the challenge.
Well, you've already gotten the StarCast website in. You've already promoted the fact that it's on pay-per-view twice, so I don't feel like promotion's going to be your problem here. I feel like you got that part
got
handled.
That covered.
That should come fairly easy.
Mention, Cole, let me just mention, you mentioned Fight TV, and yes, you can get all the details at RickFlairsLastMatch.com, but it's on your local cable provider. It's on Dish Networks. If you're old school and don't really understand all these apps and OTTs, don't worry about it. Just click a button onto your remote. If you've got Dish Network or cable, we're going to be there.
If you have that, you have the Pac-12 Network.
Yep,
by God,
you're
one of the four people
true.
That has that. I'm listening to an interview that you did yesterday, and I just some of how this is all sort of lined itself up and is all happening is just crazy. You talk a lot about Rick's health, and you mentioned earlier when you joined us that there was that health scare that had him hospitalized a little over a year ago. And that thing was touch and go for almost 2 weeks. And there were times I can remember talking to you about it that things didn't look great. And so now he's really put his health as a priority daily. And an Apple Watch and wearing an Apple Watch has been a part of that. And as we know, like we've all seen the commercial, one of the new cool parts of the Apple Watch is like if you fall and pass out, or I guess the commercial if you're like mountain biking in the woods and you crash, like it asks if you're okay and calls 911 for you. As he's been preparing for this in the ring, his Apple Watch has gone off multiple times, like asking him if he's fallen and if he's okay as he's been in the ring working towards his final match. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, not to correct you, but he had the real physical health scare in 2017. It was around SummerSlam 2017, so almost 5 years ago to the month, because it actually happened in August of 2017. But he's made a full recovery, and he's worked his all the way back. I mean, if you saw the documentary series we did, episode 1 and 2 showed him in the hospital after he had dropped all the weight. I mean, he looked like a freaking alien. So he started to take it very, very seriously afterwards. And, yeah, he rocks that Apple Watch. And as you could imagine, taking a body slam or, you know, a suplex off the top rope or whatever, that's a big impact. So the Apple Watch is not familiar with this movement in Mr. Flair's routine. So it goes, hey, have you fallen? As if, you know, press a button and we'll send help. And at first he thought, oh, God, does that mean something's happening? And then he realized, wait a minute, this is for old people. This isn't for Ric Flair. So I was just with him yesterday. He ran through all of his drills, took a bunch of big bumps again. His watch didn't go off one time. And I asked about it, and he goes, I think they figured out it's just something I do now. So it's not out of the ordinary. So, yeah, he's still rocking the Apple Watch. He will not wear it in the ring this Sunday night. He won't have to worry about life alert. How about that?
Speaking of promotions, that'd be a hell of a promotion there for Tim Cook and Company if he was sporting that thing during his last match. Conrad Thompson, the Podfather, joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline at Hey Hey, It's Conrad. You can follow him on Twitter. And we're talking Ric Flair's last match coming up this Sunday night, pay-per-view Fight TV. And if you have the Pac-12 Network, which is apparently only on Dish Network, you can get it there as well. All right, so getting ready for this, there are a lot of folks that would say, okay, well, 73, not going to be able to do a whole lot, not going to be able to get in. But as you said, if you've watched some of the footage, some of the documentary of just, first and foremost, how good a shape he's in, and then some of the things, I'm not even talking just in the ring, Some of the training regimen that he's been going through to be able to get ready for this match. I mean, there are a lot of younger guys that can't go through, wouldn't go through. I mean, I see some of the workout things he's doing. I'm thinking, damn, I don't think I could go do that right now. Like, a matter of fact, I know I couldn't go do that right now. And I feel like I'm in halfway decent shape. So it's just wild to think about a guy that's been through what he's been through, getting back in the ring, getting back in the gym, which I know he never completely left the gym, but how impressed have you been? How impressed has his family been, the people around him been, with just the actual work that he's putting into making this last match memorable?
all the work in the world. I mean, long before we had this idea to do the last match, Rick just wanted to feel like Rick again. And so once upon a time, he was a notorious partier. He would close down the bars and, you know, pass out at 3. But come 6:15, man, he was doing the Stairmaster for an hour. And he's always been a cardiovascular wonder. And that's what he's done here. You know, he started getting in this shape long before we ever discussed the match because he just wanted to be in that physical condition again. So he went to John Cena's personal trainer, Hard Knock South, Rob McIntyre. I mean, he's a legendary guy in the wrestling circuit. All the top stars use him. And he started pushing himself in a big way. And he went to him and said, "Hey, man, thinking about having my last match. Can you help me get ready?" And at first, he didn't think he was serious. Then he realized, okay, well, let's do it. And about 3 weeks ago, after they finished a really strenuous workout, he looked right at Rick and said, "Dude, you're ready. You're super ready." And even yesterday, as he's getting last-minute preparations ready, he said, "Hey, man, I want to be on the bike right before I go through the curtain. I want to have that rhythm going and just get myself going. Can you help me get an Aerodyne bike?" And I thought, okay, I don't really know who to call, but you were just there earlier today, so I'm happy to give you a little peek behind the curtain. The Titans brought us a bike. So at Municipal Auditorium, he will be using one of the Tennessee Titans bikes right before he steps through the curtain to make sure that he is rip-roaring ready to go. He's in better condition than he thinks he's been in over 20 years. And he's ready, man. I know there's a lot of doubters. I know there's a lot of concern. And I know it comes from a good place. But the reality is he's been in the ring for an hour every other day since April. So we're saying 4 practices. He's been in the ring 4 hours a week, every week, since April. So I know a lot of people are thinking, "Oh, man, what's going to happen when he steps through the ropes? It could be disaster." It's already happened, kind sir. You just didn't see it, but you will see it live on pay-per-view this Sunday night.
Conrad Thompson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline at Hey Hey It's Conrad is where you can find him, conradlinks.com. Savewithcold.com. You can also check that out and help Conrad out just a little bit. I'm interested because you brought up the Titans. We saw the pictures with Coach Vrabel yesterday. Derrick Henry, he actually addresses it in his press conference after practice day before yesterday that he hopes to be able to see him and he thinks he's going to be at the match. You've also said, I've heard from you, that I thought you stated it brilliantly. Listen, if you've had business dealings with Rick and they went south, if you have faced him in the ring, if you've been around him either late at night, during the day, personal, business, whatever it is, like you still have that respect for him and what he's done in the ring. Because of that, I'm assuming there are a lot of people that want to be a part of this. I need to know the most outrageous name or the most least likely name that you would have never expected to have heard from that you have heard from with interest to either be there, be a part of this, or see this match coming up Sunday night.
Man, that's crazy. You know, I told our guys who are handling ticketing, I said, "Hey, I need one section that we hold back on the floor that we can't sell." And they were like, "Okay, how many rows?" And I said, no, the whole floor section, like all of the rows in a ringside section. And at first they came to me and said, "Do you know how much revenue we're losing?" And I was like, "Do you know who's going to be sitting in those seats?" I mean, we've heard from everyone, from Darius Rucker to Kid Rock to Charles Barkley to Dennis Rodman to The Undertaker. But the one that was probably the most out of left field that I thought, really? I guess Jason Aldean might be in the front row. I guess Sheryl Crow reached out to see if we wanted her to sing the national anthem. I mean, every time I turn around, I'm like, wait, what? Really? And, right now I'm talking to you from the stage where we're going to do the roast of Ric Flair tonight. And Brad Nessler, who you and I both think a lot of, he's the MC. He's the roast master. It's unbelievable, you know, the attention that this weekend has gotten. And what it does is, I get a lot of credit for that, and people say, "Oh, look what Conrad did." I didn't do any of this, guys. These folks are coming out to pay respect to Ric Flair and all the memories that he provided for them and all the laughter. And I mean, how can you not be a fan of Ric Flair? If you've been watching wrestling or pop culture for the last 50 years, you know who Ric Flair is. And, man, on a weekend in Nashville, come on, that's a good time.
I dropped it right before you joined us that I saw Ness in Atlanta, SEC Media Days last week. I was like, "You going to the match? You going to be there?" And he kind of stopped and stared at me for about a good 7 seconds. And he said, "Yeah, I'm hosting the roast." I was like, "Okay, right. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess you will be there then." Yeah, so it's going to be incredible. The card top to bottom, though, It's something that I don't know if enough people are focusing on, but it's not just going to be that match. I mean, you're going to have a solid card from start to finish if you purchase this pay-per-view Sunday night.
A lot of first-time ever matchups, Cole. You know, a lot of legends that a lot of fans would know, but more importantly, a whole lot of second-generation, third-generation stars and the top stars of today. We have every wrestling organization represented. We have WWE, we have AEW, we have Ring of Honor, we have Impact, we have New Japan, we have AAA. I mean, this is a global thing. In our Bunkhouse Battle Royal, we've got over a dozen different promotions represented in that alone. All told, we're saying more than 20 different promotions. Everyone wants to come out and pay their respects, and it's just something that shouldn't normally happen. You know, we don't normally see these organizations sort of cross party lines. They don't do business with each other. Our show is our show, your show is your show, and no, our guys can't be on your TV program. But for Ric Flair, all those rules are out the window. So we've actually got an interpromotional sort of dream match. The Impact World Champion is going to be defending his title against the longest-reigning MLW World Champion in history. So there's real title implications there, where a guy who doesn't even work for that company might win their belt. And what would that look like? Well, we'll find out this Sunday night on pay-per-view. But I just remembered somebody else. We've got a couple surprises in this roast that I haven't told anybody about, but here's a few. Jerry West sent a video in. Chevy Chase sent a video in. I mean, there are so many where I'm like, wait a minute, Chevy Chase?
That's amazing.
Jerry West? So, yeah, this is a star-studded affair. Everybody wants to pay their respects. It's going to be a major celebration. It's my great honor to be even a small part of this, and I can't believe it's here, dude, and I can't believe you're not coming. Like, you're off my Christmas card list. I just want you to know.
I'm working on it. I was out of town Monday, and I'm just going to – we'll see. Don't completely rule it out yet. There may be a Tua to Devontae. We can launch here and make happen.
I just want to mention, Cole, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I was not in Chevy Chase's wedding. I was not in Jerry West's wedding. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. Conrad was in mine. I think that's where he's headed with that. So. I get it. I'm trying to support you by having you on today, and I'll do my best to be there Sunday night. Just save me a credential, to an all-access credential, and I'll see if I can make it happen. I don't need anybody else to come with me.
Here's the thing. If you can't make it, Cole, you can get the pay-per-view right now at RicFlairsLastMatch.com.
And on Dish Network, if you have that. If you're one of the 11 people that still has that going at your house, then you can also get it there. The last thing that I want to hit with you is just kind of when this whole thing happens, when this whole thing goes through, what's next for Rick in your opinion? Because obviously you're promoting this as the last match. I'm not necessarily asking, do you think he'll be in the ring again, but just where does this leave him as far as just his career and wrestling and what may be next for him?
Well, he had the best send-off a wrestler could ever ask for in 2008 at WrestleMania 24 with Shawn Michaels, and the next night on Monday Night Raw, where literally everyone he's been associated with came to the ring to pay respect to him. It was a fantastic tribute. Unfortunately, he didn't stop wrestling. He jumped back in. He did a tour with Hulk Hogan, and then he did several years with Impact Wrestling based out of Nashville here. And then he had his last match, as a TV match in a soundstage in front of 1,100 fans, and it was just, another Wednesday. And that wasn't the fitting end for a career. And yes, if he had it to do over again, he would have completely stopped in 2008. But this story and this build-up and this weekend is the celebration that's really worthy of him officially hanging it up. I mean, it's been 11 years since his last match, so he never imagined he would be doing this. So I can say in a loud and clear voice, no, he won't wrestle again. But if I'm a wrestling promoter and I'm taking a look at all the attention that this weekend has garnered, I'm thinking, hey, I might want that on my TV. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if we saw him on TV come some random Monday or Wednesday or Friday. I think that's a real possibility. I mean, I think there's a real opportunity for that to happen. But as far as, me continuing to promote wrestling matches with Ric Flair, this is one and done, but it's going to be as good as it can get.
Absolutely. Conrad, great stuff, man. We're looking forward to Sunday night. Thanks for hopping on today. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Absolutely. Conrad Thompson, obviously, Hometown Lenders helps us out there, SaveTheCold.com. Check him out on Twitter, at Hey Hey, It's Conrad. Ric Flair's last match, pay-per-view, Fight TV, Dish Network, allegedly.
That's huge.
You can come to the studio and get it here. $34.99, Sunday night. Going to be fun, going to be entertaining, and you don't want to miss it. When we come back, we move on from the ring back to the field. Adam Rittenberg has a piece up on Kevin Warren and his tenure as Big Ten commissioner and what he has accomplished recently. What does that mean for the future? We'll ask him next right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning, 9:25 a.m., Friday, July 29th. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Interesting piece up on Kevin Warren and the last year or two of his tenure, Adam. One thing that I find very intriguing about Big Ten Media Days, and some of it coming from Kevin, is it feels like 16 teams, and not an expanded playoff, but actually the number 16 as it pertains to a potential playoff, is a message that I guess had some desired meaning from the folks at the Big Ten wanting to sort of push that narrative out. Do you think that that's been intentional over the last 2 days?
Oh, I think to a degree. I think as that's I think there's a couple of layers to it. I think the number 16 is obviously getting some more attention for future playoff discussions. I also think Kevin Warren, you know, publicly telling me and some of the other reporters he talked to that he's softening on the automatic qualifier issue, which was, you know, part of the reason why expansion didn't get happen the first time or recently with those discussions last year. And so I think when all is said and done, when I think the issue the Big Ten had with not going forward with the expansion discussions last year has much more to do with how the media deal will be structured than the actual format, because as it gets stronger, you know, its champion is going to be part of a 12-team playoff, a 16-team playoff, probably an 8-team playoff in almost every year. I think the bigger issue for Kevin Warren as far as the playoff was having a agreement that included multiple media partners, which the Big Ten's television deal absolutely will. You heard that as he was talking about Fox in his opening comments. He also said, well, I look forward to having new members in the family when they finalize their deal here soon.
Adam, when you think about Kevin Warren and what's next, he sort of dances around lightly with the discussion of further expansion, kind of like what we've heard from some other commissioners of will be aggressive if necessary, but doesn't necessarily have an exact plan in place. But then he drops that there are other teams outside of Notre Dame that he feels have value that could be added. What do you see in the near future for the Big Ten as far as further expansion is concerned?
Right. So this is important. What's going to happen is the Big Ten is going to finalize its media rights agreement, most likely by August 15th, as far as an announcement. And then you'll probably see some more real action involving expansion. You know, I've heard from sources that schools have reached out to the Big Ten, which is no surprise, from the Pac-12, from other places about interest. But at that point, the numbers in the new deal will be out, and everyone will know what the Big Ten is going to be bringing in for this new media rights package. So that could trigger some interest from Notre Dame. It could trigger some deeper conversations on the Big Ten end about adding more schools from the West Coast. So I think the media rights has to happen first, and then there's probably going to be another flurry of expansion.
We're talking with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN on the Bud Light Hotline. Very interesting article up now at ESPN.com about Kevin Warren and the Big Ten. Under his leadership, when you go back, obviously, to the COVID year, there are a lot of people that lost a lot of confidence. Not too many people are wailing with confidence now. But what has Kevin Warren been able to do to grab the majority of that confidence back from other leaders around college football?
Well, I think he has started to show why the Big Ten hired him. His tone, the way he was carrying himself just seemed very different on Tuesday than it really had been for the first 2+ years of his commissionership. And I think you're starting to see the businessman in Kevin Warren, coming from the NFL, you know, being the COO of the Vikings, starting to come out in terms of how he looks at college athletics going forward, how he looks at what's going on with the Big Ten and future expansion, or even some of the leagues that are, you know, kind of on the brink right now. I asked him about that, you know, about how what they did to the Pac-12 has put that league, which is a long time ally of the Big Ten, a connection to the Rose Bowl and many other connections on the brink. And he said, hey, if your league's on the brink, you got bigger problems than members leaving the conference, and it's just business. You know, in the NFL, you know, there's success and there's failure, and it's not just on the field. And so it was a very kind of matter-of-fact, business-like approach. And this is a guy who less than a year ago, Cole, as you know, formed that alliance with the Pac-12 and had a picture with George Kliavkov with their arms around each other at the Rose Bowl meetings in mid-August last year. And so it's just a shift. It's an understanding about where this is headed. And you know, Kevin said to me, listen, I came into this job without a lot of allies, that I got a lot of criticism early in my tenure, but I continue to work towards the vision that I saw for the conference now, meaning the media rights deal, meaning potential expansion. He talked about having UCLA and USC on his list of potential options for the Big Ten even before he took the job, because he saw how many Big Ten alumni are in the Los Angeles area, and the league already has a strong presence here in Chicago as well as one in New York. And so he is showing that he maybe was more ahead of things than people thought. One of the big criticisms within the conference with athletic directors and league administrators is that Kevin wasn't leading from the front enough. I think you're starting to see him do a little bit more of that, and he has to do that because, let's face it, going forward, what he says and does and what Greg Sankey says and does are going to be very, very important in determining what happens in college athletics.
Adam, I had you on to talk about Kevin Warren in your article about the Big Ten commissioner, but you just brought it up, and we will hear from him today. Matter of fact, I think Three Man Front after us is going to carry George Kliavkov live. What do you anticipate to hear from the Pac-12 commissioner as he takes the podium at Pac-12 Media Day today?
I think you're going to hear more about what could come next for the league versus lamenting, you know, USC and UCLA leaving. I think George has to outline as best he can why the league is better off staying together, even though, you know, multiple members have shown interest in the Big Ten and might have an opportunity to join the Big Ten, which would be very difficult to pass up, obviously. And so, you know, they opened up their negotiating with Fox and ESPN for about a month. That's going to end next week. And then, you know, George can also begin talking to other outlets, including some of the streaming services. And so I think this is where the creativity of George Kliavkov has to come into play, because one thing he told me back in May when everything was seemingly great with the Pac-12 is that he believes that the live rights, the media rights in college athletics, are severely undervalued. It's why he thought he wanted the Big Ten to do really, really well with this deal, because it would help everybody else, including the Pac-12. Unfortunately, the Big Ten is going to do even better because it has two of the better Pac-12 brands in its conference going forward with USC and UCLA. And so he still believes that. And so what can he do from a media rights standpoint and trying to get things to a point where Oregon and Washington would say, you know what, we're going to stick with the Pac-12, see how this goes before really making a push to join the Big Ten. And there's no guarantee the Big Ten is going to accept those schools. If it was, they would have done it already. It wouldn't have just been a two-school expansion. It would have been a four- or six-school expansion back in June.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline. I was asked a question yesterday, Adam. Do I believe the Pac-12 can survive another hit, as in another team or two exiting the league? I think the obvious answer to that is no. But I want to ask you in a little bit of a different way. Can the Pac-12 as they currently stand without USC and UCLA survive that?
Oh, no. I think if anyone else leaves, it's because the problem with the Pac-12, and it's ironic, Cole, is that their schools are desirable enough from other leagues. And that's what could ultimately lead to them falling apart. I'll say this, a lot of the Big 12 schools, I don't know how desirable they are for the Big 10 or the SEC or the ACC, but you look at the Pac-12 and they have some notable brands, they have some major markets, they have schools that have some real good tradition like Oregon and Washington, and they're really strong academic schools as well, which is important for the Big 10 presidents. And so that desirability could ultimately lead to exiting, and anything further, I think, would be very, very hard to salvage. So if Oregon and Washington were to leave, I don't know how those other schools would feel about going forward in the Pac-12 versus going maybe to the Big 12 where it's at least more stable. And that would likely lead to the end of the conference.
Can that league survive, though, just as it stands today, once USC, once UCLA leave, with everything that's left now, can they survive that? And obviously we go back and forth and say, well, they can't be a Power 5 conference, or they can't keep that. We don't even know what the Power 5 is anymore right now, much less if they're going to stay in it. But can they survive just that once UCLA and USC are gone? If they keep Oregon, they keep Washington, they keep the two Arizona schools, can that league find a way to make it?
I think they can. If the Big Ten is saying, hey, we're good at 16. We don't want any of the others from the Pac-12. We're good on waiting out Notre Dame a little bit longer. We're just going to move forward. And then I think they need George Kliavkos to put together a really creative media rights deal. And it won't be a long-term agreement. I think the era of, 10-plus year media agreements is over in college athletics. I don't think any of those Pac-12 schools would be wise to sign their rights away for more than, 6 or 7 years. And then you can see what George Kliavkos brings to the table. We were just talking about the value added from Kevin Warren and his background. Here's George's chance. And one thing that I think is important is that we just don't know what companies like Amazon and Apple, how much they want to get in to the college athletics game, the college football game. Those are two West Coast companies. You can go to them and say, hey, you can go down as saving the Pac-12 by essentially overpaying for the rights. You have the money. We know they have the money. Are they willing to become a much bigger player in that space, which is, again, what George Kliavkos thinks those rights are worth. So he's got to sell those types of arrangements. But I still think if the Big Ten door is open to those programs, they're going to have a very tough time staying put rather than walking through it.
Really appreciate the time, Adam. Great stuff. Great article up now at ESPN.com. We'll catch up with you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Cole. Appreciate it.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. As I mentioned, you can find that article now at ESPN.com. Find Adam at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. I think that the question is, there's not a lot you can put into, Damian, if the Pac-12 can survive another hit. Let's say both Arizona schools leave, Oregon, Washington leave. I think that's about it at that point, because then the lack of confidence from the schools remaining are going to probably be next to nothing, and they'll probably be looking to get out at that point instead of saying, all right, we'll wait and see what happens. But as it stands now, once UCLA and USC leave, if the rest of those participants stay together, can that remain a viable conference, in your opinion?
No. No, because I think at that point, Utah and Oregon, I think, would be the front runners from
that
point.
Those are your bell cows.
And it is not like they are.
Maybe Washington, some people would say.
Some years. Like some years. I can understand it. But I don't.
They've been in the college football playoff.
That is fair. It's a fact.
I'm saying a lot of teams that we put on pedestals, can't say that. So.
Yeah, but I just don't think that, like, Utah and Oregon are enough, and the rest of the supporting cast definitely won't be enough to truly say, to be a viable and strong enough conference to sit there and say that we can compete with the top dogs.
And the weird part about it is, when we talk about a conference surviving, talk about a conference potentially making it, and we still talk about Power 5, Group of 5, that I almost feel like we should just stop talking about that now.
Yes. Because I
understand that the ACC right now is still fairly relevant. The Big 12 is going to have Texas and Oklahoma for either one or a couple more years.
For the time being.
Obviously, USC, UCLA have this season to play in the Pac-12, so they are that now. But as far as the future is concerned, there really is no Power 5. Because the Big 12 is not going to be that. I don't care how many teams you're adding. Cincinnati's great. UCF is great. I think BYU is a wonderful get for a lot of different reasons, not just quality of football, but broadening your audience, bringing in extra eyeballs. It's great, but that doesn't make you Power 5.
No.
And, the ACC, I think, is still okay. Obviously, with the relationship in Notre Dame, there's that helps. And even if that went away and they were able to maintain the schools that they have, they're going to stay Power 5, and they should. But Pac-12 without USC and UCLA, what could you even add? Boise, San Diego State. People say that. That's not putting you up in Power 5 realm.
Moving the needle.
So I think it had to be Big 12, Pac-12 working together. It had to be some sort of a Big 12, Pac-12 merger to be able to put those two conferences together, and maybe that would have meant leaving a few behind. But that was going to be the key to survival for both. Now, one might make it, but I think the Pac-12 can survive if they stay where they are minus, I mean, first off, that's not going to be a lot of teams. So, I mean, who are you going to play every, like, right. What is your conference schedule going to look like if UCLA and USC leave, and then you're going to try to play a conference schedule? That in and of itself makes things a little bit difficult, but.
And, like, think about where we already look at the Pac-12 as a conference, as we look at them now, and how much discussion it goes into if they even find a spot in the college football playoff some years. And if you start, you lose your bell cows in USC and UCLA, I mean, you could go undefeated in the Pac-12 and people would still have, you know, we'll still debate whether a one-loss SEC team over a Pac-12 champion should get into a college football playoff. And that's only going to diminish as we get further along in this, you know, expansion process.
So now you'll go round robin, and similar to what the Big 12's been doing in recent memory, which everybody's getting away from division, so it's not a huge deal,
right.
But it's just the number of quality teams that it appears as though you will have to elevate the perception of your league, probably not going to be there.
Won't be enough.
And then you don't have the name recognition or the brands to go demand a high-priced television deal or rights deal, and then you're just going to get left behind. So can they survive? Yeah. Can they be anything close to the other leagues at the top? Definitely not Big Ten, definitely not SEC, and I don't even think anything close to the ACC. And you're probably pushed way behind the Big 12 and what they are about to become at that point as well. So, I mean, George Kliavkov is going to be sitting back comparing his conference to the American and the Sun Belt. Not a good place to be.
That's not the ideal situation to be
Not
in.
A good place to be. Great place to be if you are UCF right now. I'm going to tell you why next, right here on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kublik in the morning. Great show today. Appreciate Conrad Thompson talking about Ric Flair's last match coming up Sunday night. Adam Rittenberg talking Kevin Warren. Ben Lear talking Auburn football. John Parker Wilson talking a real-life SEC commercial that we lived in a nearby restaurant. Also, we got to get to our Super Sofa Game of the Week. I feel like this segment's going to be so much better in 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Right now, it's just kind of...
We'll have a whole slate
to find something. A couple weeks from now, this is going to be a lot more fun to actually debate if we could only watch one football game, which football game that was going to be.
That'd be tough.
But as for this weekend, TD's Fine Furniture is where you can get that Super Sofa football size warehouse. They buy by the truckload at closeout prices, and they pass those savings on to you with discounts throughout the store. Sofas, recliners, dining room, bedroom, furniture, and more. 12 months, no interest at TD's Fine Furniture in Summerton. I'm going to go Royals at Yankees tonight, 6:05. Yes Network is where you will find that game, mainly because Gerrit Cole is on the mound. 9-3 on the season, 3.09 ERA. Yankees squeezed one out against the Royals last night. You have that Aaron Judge home run, Damian? Just go ahead and play that for the folks just so they can hear it, what that sounded like.
High fly ball, left center. Taylor on the run, on the track, at the wall. He's done it again. See ya.
39th home run for Judge. Third walk-off home run this season for Aaron Judge. 67-33 for the Yankees. Major league best record. That was one of two hits for the Yanks last night. Two hits, but the walk-off gets it done and doesn't really matter. So That is your Super Sofa Game of the Weekend, brought to you by TD's Fine Furniture. Sofas, recliners, dining room, bedroom furniture, and more. You can get them all 12 months, no interest, at TD's Fine Furniture in Summerton. We got the XFL coming back. We just wrapped up the USFL. We obviously talk college football, NFL every day. DK Metcalf gets a 3-year extension in Seattle. Ryan Jensen, Buck Center, looked like a devastating knee injury yesterday. Don't have details on that just yet, but that would be a brutal loss for the Bucks. So there's a lot of football that's floating around. There's some football that is no longer floating around. Damien, are you familiar with Major League Football?
MLF?
B?
Yeah,
MLFB.
No, I hadn't checked the tape on that one.
You hadn't seen the tape on that?
No.
Well, yeah, that's because the tape never made it. This is from Simone Eli, who used to report here in Birmingham and is now in Mobile. Major League Football, which was practicing last week at Loud People Stadium in Mobile, set to begin games next month, has been shut down.
Dagnabbit. Who's the big time names that were gonna who's running this? I have not.
Yeah, stemming in part from an unpaid hotel bill.
That'll get you every time.
Had practice yesterday. MLFB coaches, according to the report, were in meetings at a team hotel when hotel officials knocked on the door and informed them to leave immediately.
What if it was like housekeeping?
By the time the coaches returned to their rooms, hotel officials were knocking on players' dorms, informing them to get out.
Get out! Man, that's tough. I ain't gonna lie. That's rough.
Hotel room cards were shut off for everybody involved in the MLFB. Hotel officials retrieved luggage for people in the organization if they were not already in their rooms prior to the cards being shut off.
Oh, this is a clean sweep. Like,
let me just say this. You pack my stuff for me and move it, we're going to have a problem.
Like, they weren't playing.
You've got to give me a chance to go pack my own stuff. I don't trust you doing that.
Housekeeping.
WKRG was told that this happened at 3 of the 4 team hotels.
Dang.
Another coach with MLFB stated the players have only received a small stipend. We're going to be paid in full after their first game. MLFB coaches had been paid at least one time up to this point. So officials in the lobby of the hotel said they were going to try to bring coaches and players back in 2 weeks when, quote, stockholder money was approved by the SEC. I don't think that's Southeastern Conference.
That's not their grandfather's SEC.
Approved by the SEC to help fund the league. I know Greg Sankey said that he feels it's responsible for him to help all levels of football and SEC media days. I don't think that's one that he was referencing. The league officials also said that they were paying for players to get home. That contradicted reports and interviews from players on site who were waiting in the lobby and waiting outside for rides to get home, some saying they didn't have the means to be able to get home.
No. Not a good look.
No statement released from MLFB on any of this. Now, MLFB player Randy Patrick said workers came in taking locks off the doors, saying we had to get out.
Oh, they weren't playing.
That feels like overkill, by the way, to take the whole thing, the whole lock off the door.
Right.
Just change the keys.
Also, what hotel is that?
Said nothing we can do. People don't have money. Everybody is scrambling to get home. Hate that for those kids. Hate it for the players and the coaches, the people who potentially left their families behind to go and try to make it and try to chase their dreams in football. But doesn't sound like anything positive from the league itself.
Nothing.
Don't like hearing that about a league that is not paying people and not taking care of people and putting people in that position.
Also, I never heard of it either. Like, that's crazy. You hate to see it.
Firefest Football League?
No comment. No. Oh.
Appreciate Adam Rittenberg, Conrad Thompson, Ben Lear, John Parker Wilson joining the show today. Get those at jocksfm.com, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Always go back and check out pieces of the show that you missed. Three-man front coming up next. You will hear George Kliavkov, commissioner of the Pac-12, live. Very interested to see what direction he goes today and how he wants to attack the issues with his league. We're back Monday, 7 to 10 a.m. right here on Jocks 94.5.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.